the message I had stirring in my heart, I preached last night, was just a thought that's been going in my spirit for quite a while, and I put some things down this past week and preached it. And when I went home last night, you know, Gwen said, well, how'd it go? I said, well, you know, God healed a lot of people and touched people, but I don't know. I just didn't feel that it came out, right? So I said, I think I'm going to preach something different tomorrow. And that was my mind, that I was going to preach something different tomorrow. And late last night, honestly, I heard the Spirit of God say, well, I liked it. Well, who knew? I didn't even ask. So it's not all about me, apparently, as Gwen keeps saying. He liked it. So I want to talk to you about something that I think is really, really special. And, you know, you met Gwen. You've seen some of the pictures. And, did I marry up? I mean, look at her. You look younger now than when we got married. In Bible school, seriously, people used to think that she was quite a bit older than me. Now, when we travel, people say, it's so nice that you're taking care of your father and traveling with him. Like, things have changed. I don't know. I went through a season early in our marriage when we... I just came up with this big word. I don't have many big words, but incompatible. I thought, well, we're incompatible. You know, one of the things, because when you think of that, then you start looking for things, you know, and I did. I thought, well, she's a night person, and I'm a morning person. And I thought, well, that proves we're incompatible. And then I realized what I thought was a liability is actually an asset. We could have a 24-hour prayer tower all on our own. You know, she could manage at night, I could do it in the mornings and all this. But she analyzes things. She dissects things. She likes to solve things. And I don't. I don't need to because she does. But like you got to help me here because she likes doing jigsaw puzzles. And I don't get it. She's working on one now, 3,000 pieces. And she's been working on it since Christmas. And every other day I say, are you done? And no. And it means we have no table to eat on. That's one of the things it means, but we still eat, you know. But and I don't get it. And she'll spend hours there. And because she likes that kind of thing. And I say to her, are you enjoying this? And she says, it's fun. Well, then what really baffled me, because you think you have some people figured out, Pastor Greg says, I love jigsaw puzzles. And I thought, no, I can't see him sitting still, you know, doing jigsaw puzzle. And so Johnny said, well, you know why he loves it? Because he's never done one. Well, that made sense. That told me. And until I went right to the top last night, I went to Pastor Bobby, and I asked her. And she said, no, he really does. Really is. Because this guy, you know, he likes to solve things. And he likes to, when he gets focused on, so he won't quit. He won't give up. He won't give up on you. He won't give up on anything. And he just likes that. So it kind of makes sense, although I don't get it. Like, hour after hour after hour after hour, day after day, week after week. This is like the second month now, and hello. And when it's all done, you know, Gwen will say, well, just take a picture of it. Take a picture. Then she smashes it all up, puts it in the box, and starts on the next one. And so she likes watching these forensic science television programs. And I said to her, like, why do you like that? Because it's, you know, about people, dead people and crimes and murder. Because she said, I like seeing how they put the pieces together and like to see how they solve this. And I actually was watching one the other night with her. Nice. And and so it was interesting because this crime had been committed. A young lady had been murdered. And They couldn't find who did it. And there was no evidence. They suspected this guy, but there was no evidence. And so they were, you know, they're going to close the case. When upon closer examination, they found one fingerprint on the arm of the body. And that one fingerprint matched this guy. And there, that gave evidence that he was there at the crime when she died. And that one fingerprint was enough evidence to put him away for life. I want to talk to you about God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, Pastor preached such a great message beginning at this verse last week. It was phenomenal, but heaven and earth and the atmosphere. In the Message translation, Genesis 1, 1 says, God created the heaven and the earth, all you see and all you don't see. Earth was a soup of nothingness, of bottomless emptiness, of inky blackness. God's spirit brooded like a bird over the watery abyss. When you read the description of this earth in Genesis chapter 1, if you and I were there and God said, what could you do with this? We said, nothing. If it ever was something, it was done. It was burnt. It was out. It was dark. It was empty. It was void. It had no purpose. And all that happened was the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, moved over the face of this earth. And that which was dark and empty and without purpose and void and ugly became what we have today. So I just suggest, if Holy Spirit could do that over this earth and over creation, then don't you think he could do something pretty big with you if Holy Spirit moves over your life? And that's exactly what's going to happen today. And that's exactly what's happening in your life. Holy Spirit can take anything and turn it around and change absolutely everything. And the Bible says that all of creation declares the handiwork of God. And I like it in Psalm chapter 8. David was sitting, taking care of the sheep. And he's looking up one night, and he's looking at all the stars. And he says, God, you're so big. You're so great. When I consider the heavens, the sun, the moon, and the stars that you put there with your finger, he said, how come you care about us? How come you're interested in me? You're so big. And David said, every star was put in place with a finger. In other words, every star has God's fingerprint on it. Wow. Now, we think, you know, this is it, what we see and have. But we're told that besides our galaxy, there's 10 billion other galaxies that they can see. And every time they make stronger telescopes, they can see farther and see more galaxies. It's like it just goes and goes and goes. But in what they can see, they see 10 billion galaxies. And every galaxy has about 100 billion stars. That's a lot of stars. In fact, it equals about 1 billion trillion stars. I said last night, that's almost like the national debt, I think, isn't it? It's like, it's big, it's a lot. And that's just what they can see. But here's the big thing. The Bible says God named every star. Can you imagine? I mean, no wonder when he created man, after naming, you know, well, the 100 billion stars, well, the billion, trillion stars that we can see. After naming all those, no wonder he said to Adam, you name all the animals. Like, come on, I'm done here. I mean, that's crazy. God named them. And so when you meet people who say, oh, I've got God all figured out. I've got all the answers. I really? Really? You're talking about somebody that gives a name to every one of these stars. Like, God's so much higher than us, so much bigger than us, that you'll never figure him out. You'll never totally understand him. When you just think you've got it all figured out and got all the answers, you watch. Something's going to happen. You say, I don't get that. Things don't always happen like we think they should or when they think we should. And by the way, I'm just going to give a little tease. No matter what, I would advise you not to leave the service till Pastor Greg comes to the platform at the end after we've ministered to the sick and whatnot. Because. Okay, just because. I'm just telling you. So if you slip out and you miss something, not my fault. Okay? Not my fault. And then God looks at creation and he said, this is really good, but it's like he said, there's one thing missing. And the Bible says he created man. In Genesis chapter 2, it says, he formed man out of the dust. You get a picture of God molding man out of the dirt, out of the dust of the ground. In other words, when he created man, his hands, his fingerprints were all over mankind. You want to really trace, you want evidence to find out, well, where did this all come from? Look at creation and look at mankind. I mean, trace it back. Their fingerprints of God are evidence that there is a God. And the best explanation for everything is, in the beginning, God. Then he created absolutely everything. And then, you know, the Ten Commandments. I mean, people are, you know, taking plaques and monuments out of courtrooms and out of this and that. But let me tell you something. When Moses had this meeting on Mount Sinai with God, they spoke face to face as friends. And then God said, here, I got something for you. And he gave him two tables of stone that he'd written 10 commandments, guidelines, rules for mankind. And he wrote them with his finger. And man can change things, they can change laws, they can do this, but I want you to know something. You go back and trace it. These rules, these laws were written by God's finger, his fingerprints on them. And some people say, well, that's overwhelming. I mean, you know, that there's a lot of stuff there. And Jesus said to people, like, it's not that complicated. He said, I'm going to help you. And in the New Testament, he said, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, you'll keep the first 5 commandments. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you'll keep the last 5. So Jesus said, it's not that big of a deal. And they're not to stifle you or thwart you. They're there so you can fulfill your destiny, so you can really be free. I mean, they're guidelines for life that save you a lot of heartache and a lot of problems. And then you look at Jesus. like when he's getting ready to go, he says, like, you know where I'm going and you know who I am and you know you've seen the Father. And Thomas says, we have no idea. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And like, how? We've never seen the Father. And Jesus said, how long do I have to be with you? How come you can't get that? Like, the fingerprints of God, the Father, was all over his Son. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if you want to know the way, I am the way. He said, I don't do anything unless Father tells me, and I don't say anything unless Father tells me. So you look at the fingerprints, and then you look at his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. And you know what you see? Evidence, fingerprints of God all over this amazing life that is living and still here and through Holy Spirit is moving and up and down the aisles to touch and heal and set free right now. And then, you know, people are concerned about what's happening in the world and all of this. And then the controversy goes right down to this little plot of ground in Middle East called Israel, and fighting over Jerusalem. Who does it really belong to? And fighting over that small piece of land, who does it really belong to? And are the Jews really occupying? Well, you just need to go back and look at some evidence. You go back 3,000 or 4,000 years, and guess what you find in Jerusalem? God's fingerprints all over the place that decrees, this is my land, this is my city, and it's for my people, and I'm going to rule and reign from here. And that kind of solves the thing right there. It solves the discussion. And then you look at America. And as a very proud Canadian, I would say the United States of America is one of the greatest nations in the face of the earth. One. There are a couple, you know. And you obviously believe that. And we especially like this part of the United States of America. One of our favorite pastimes is sitting at the TV here in Naples with the air conditioning on, watching the blizzards and the frozen and the highways closed in the north. We just get so blessed. And Stephen, who is leading our ministry right now, is leaving tomorrow morning for the high Arctic in Canada. And I said to him, well, you're going to the Arctic, and I'm in Naples, and we're both in the will of God. And so I like this. I really do. I like it. But America has God's fingerprints all over it. You know, people can do whatever. Governments can do whatever. Governors can do whatever. Laws can be changed, and people can do whatever. But you trace the evidence back to the foundations of this great nation, and you see God's fingerprint on it. And the money says, in God we trust. You start hearing about George Washington and others and what they declared America needed to be and where God needed to be in it. And you find that God was very involved in the formation of this great nation. And what he starts, he intends to finish. And a nation with destiny, no man can thwart it. So you might be discouraged and you might think there's no use, but hang on. It might be dark, but it's not too dark. And it might be late, but it's not too late. Something is about to happen. There's an army of God's people that are rising up. And this army of God's people are saying, enough is enough. And we're going to take back what the enemy has stolen in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then let me talk to you about your life. You know, I have an understanding of how babies are made. You know, normally, of course, it's different today, I think. In the old days, you needed a man and a woman. Now, I think it's different now. I don't know. It's confusing. But we're walking with Johnny and Nicole, who are getting married in May. Hallelujah. And we're doing their pre-marriage counseling. And so we haven't got to that part yet of how babies are made. So Johnny has no idea. And he keeps asking me. I said, no, not yet, not yet. That's the last session we're going to get to. So, but like, come on. We understand, you know, the biological part. But for a human body to be formed, do you know what the Bible says? When I was in my mother's womb, he knew me. He called me. He gave me destiny. See, without God involved, there'll be no baby. Because God forms that precious little life. That's why abortion is so awfully criminal. Can you imagine how it affects the heart of God takes the time for every new life to form it and call it and give it destiny and purpose, and then to see man kill it. And I know many here are grieved about the recent developments in New York State, but Canada has no restrictions. Canada has no laws. We're one of three nations in the world, and we've been this way for years. North Korea, Communist China, and Canada have no restrictions. So you can kill a baby when it's being born. After it's been born, you can do post-birth abortions, they call it. We call it murder. It's an awful thing. And it grieves the heart of God, because when you were in your mother's womb, guess what? He formed you. When you were born and came out of that womb, you had fingerprints all over you. And it wasn't the doctors or the nurses. It was God's fingerprints on you with a destiny and a purpose. And you can't get away from that. And by the way, can I point out, his hand has never left you. His hand has never lifted from you. Can you? Can you, you who are serving God, been a Christian a long time, you must have looked back like I have and seen, before I gave my life to Jesus, his fingerprints, you can trace his fingerprints all over me. Before, when I didn't love him, he loved me. He loved you. It's amazing. And how he planned your life. You did things and your family did things. I mean, you know, Gwen and I were born a long way from each other. I was born in southern Ontario, and she was born in, you know, top of the province northwest, with, like, worlds apart, really. And yet, as the families made decisions and moved, thinking they're just doing what they're doing, it was all coming to that point that one day, in a radio station in Brampton near Toronto, I'd walk in. And there she was. I mean, you look at it, you think, God arranges for all of us these divine appointments and things that he's been planning since before you were born. When he formed you in your mother's womb, he planned all this. I mean, God is so amazing. And he's so beyond anything that we could call intelligent, so that you would be here today. I mean, many of us should have been dead, and we should have. I mean, you've said you should have been arrested, I think, several times or something. And you seem so nice now. I'm glad. But you know what I'm saying? God's hand. What's that? Yeah. Oh, yes, of course. But I really feel where we're heading this morning is to talk to you who may be tired, been believing for some things and you haven't seen them happen. You prayed for some things and it hasn't seemed to work out. You've had dreams and prophecies and visions, and yet you've never really felt you've seen them realize. And that can be frustrating. And a lot of people give up. A lot of people, very few people see their dreams fulfilled. You know why? Because they quit. They give up. They say, well, it's not going to happen. Have you noticed that God doesn't do things the way we think he should? And he doesn't do things when we think he should? But when he does them, we say, wow, that was so much better than what I had planned. I think that, you know, I'm just going to go with your plan. Have you noticed? And if someone came to some of you today and said, I've got a word from God for you, you kind of, nice. You got shelves full. You got shelves full of promises and prophecies. And in your heart, you're saying, I'd really like to see some of them fulfilled and realized before, you know, get any more. Well, here's the good news. You're in a community here. You're in a house here where you become part of the anointing of this house. In 2019, there's a very, very strong anointing of breakthrough. Not just for this congregation, not just for this church, not just for the pastors and their family, but for everyone that's a part of it. I believe that 2019 is the year where you're going to see prophecies fulfilled and dreams realized and promises kept. It's your year of breakthrough. This is not a good time to quit. It's not a good time to give up. You know, there was a man in the Bible named Elijah who said, "God, I just want to die." He was discouraged. God didn't rebuke him. Could have and said, "Really? You're discouraged? Think of all the things we've done together." Do you know what God said? God put him to sleep. Have a rest. Sometimes people get crabby when they get tired. When I'm considering some invitations that I think that would be so much fun to do. I was invited to go to, I don't know, this Carrick stand or one of the stands for one day to speak at a graduation of a Bible school. I really wanted to do it. Stephen was going to come with me. He said, "This will be so much fun. We've never been." And my daughter says, who acts like my mother, thank God, she says, "Not a good idea." I said, "Why not? It'd be great." She said, "You fly all the way over there to preach once, and then you get right back on a plane, fly back, you'll be tired, and you'll be crabby." Well, that's never happened, but she's thinking, "I don't want it ever happen." But I think, yeah, you're probably right, because God says, have a rest. Sometimes you want to quit because you're tired. You need to take care of yourself. You need to take care of, get some rest. But then when he woke up, the angel was making some food. I said in the first service, I've noticed that some people here have much more joy than they did during the Daniel fast. And, you know, the Daniel fast, you can eat. My word, you can eat. You can eat lots of stuff. It's just some things you can't eat. And it's like Eve in the garden. The one thing you can't have is what you want and you keep thinking about. But now, so he's made a meal. Because people are usually happier after they eat. And God said, "I'm not going to let you fizzle out here in discouragement and depression." This is what God said. "It's not about you. My fingerprints are all over you. They know. There's evidence, Elijah, that you're mine. And it's not your reputation, it's mine. And if you fizzled out now, they would say, well, his God couldn't take care of him." And that's exactly why God doesn't answer some of the prayers you prayed. "God, just stop the world so I can get off." He doesn't do that. Because you pray that when you're down and things aren't working and all this. God says, "Oh, I've got a plan for you. And it's a good plan. When you go, you're going to go up in a whirlwind, a chariot of fire. And it's going to be amazing. And people will talk about it forever. And they'll say, wow, his God is a great God." It's exactly the same with you. Now's not a good time to quit. And God doesn't want you to quit. There's only one person that wants you to quit and give up. And that's not God and it's not you. It's the devil. And he's the only one that'll win. Why is it so hard? Why is it so dark? Because you're almost there. It's breakthrough time. So now's the time to dig in and say, "I'm not going by what I feel. I'm not going by what I see. I'm not going by what I sense. I'm going by what I know." And I know Abraham, the Bible says, when there was no hope, he believed in hope. He just said, "I don't care how old she is. I don't care how dead her wound is. I don't care how dead my body is. I just believe the one who gave the promise is able to keep the promise." And I'm here to tell you today that the one who's given you promises and dreams and prophecies is well able to keep it. And so hang in there, because this is your time. This is your time to see amazing things happen. This is your year of breakthrough. And then Jesus said something, and we'll wrap up with this, and then many of you are being touched already and being healed because Holy Spirit's already doing what he does, and he does it so well. Jesus said, this is how you're going to know you're a believer. This is will be a sign that people to others that you're a believer. In Mark 16, he says, you will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. What Jesus said was touch people. Just go touch people. You know, people think, well, he said, we're supposed to go pray for the sick. He didn't say that. He said, you just go put your hands on people. You see, we are the body of Jesus. Our hands become his hands. When we lay our hands on somebody, there is another hand on top of our hand, and it's healing hand. Now, you know, I've had the privilege of laying hands on thousands of people and heard testimonies of amazing miracles. And I'm telling you, you never get used to it. You think, wow, really? All I did, I put my hand on somebody and they get healed. A friend of mine who was probably close to 90, who's in heaven now, he a great preacher. We were doing meetings together in Canada. And when they're introducing me, it was like when Pastor Greg introduces me. Honestly, I can hardly wait to hear me. I think, wow, really? So it was one of those introductions, and he went on and on. And my friend, C.M. Ward, leaned over. He said, Bill, just remember the woodpecker. And with that, the introduction was done, and I'm up preaching. So afterwards, we're going out for fellowship, which means going out to eat. And so we're in the back of the car, and I said, well, so what's this about the woodpecker? And he said, a little woodpecker came to this huge tree, wanted to get some bugs out of the tree. So the little woodpecker gets his head back as far as he could, and with all his might, that little beak hit the tree. The split second the woodpecker's beak hit the tree, a bolt of lightning came out of the sky, hit that tree, split the tree in half. Half of it flew over there, half of it flew over there, and the little woodpecker was knocked unconscious on the ground. And when it came to, he looked. And he says, wow, look what I did. If the lightning doesn't strike, if it's just your hand or my hand, nothing happens. But when you are anointed by the Holy Spirit, and you are, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and you are, when you've got fire in your bones, and you do, when you lay your hands on it, it's another hand. And when you finish, you leave fingerprints. And if you did the test, they wouldn't be your fingerprints. They'd be the fingerprints of a hand with a nail scar in it. In the services, when Pastor Greg calls the elders and altar workers up, and they pray, they anoint, and they lay hands on, they pray. This is why it's so important for us to touch people. You know, some people stand way back and like this. Well, that's fine, I guess, but Jesus said, touch them. Did you notice Jesus kept touching people? The rule said, you can't touch a leper. Every time he met a leper, what did he do? Put his hand on him. Then he said, don't tell anybody. Are you kidding? Couldn't keep his hands off people because he knew something. If his hand touched people, they're going to be healed. They're going to break through. And so you don't get religious about it. You just start rubbing your hand all over them. Go home. To those that don't want anything to do with God, don't say, hey, I've just been anointed. I've come from the house of God. I'm going to lay my hands on you. No, no, no. They won't be nice. So don't tell them. Just say, hey, I really love you. And just rub it all over because you know what? There's another hand. And there's healing. There is, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Nice. A lady last night, talked to her after the service, and so many testified of being healed, but I was asked to come back and talk to her. She was having an experience she never had. I asked people to put their hands where they're having trouble. She put her hands on her legs. And she said, when I did, and you started speaking, she said, I felt like fire on my hands and legs. I said, have you ever had that before? And she said, no, never. And she looked really, I felt nervous. So I said, are you afraid? Because there's nothing to be afraid of. She said, oh, no, I'm not afraid. I liked it. She said, but I was really surprised. Well, God's going to do that. It wasn't her hands. When she put her hands on the legs, guess what? His hands came down with fire in them. And that's where the healing goes. So let's do it. If you can, would you stand with me right now, please? And if you came with a physical problem in your body, I want you to take your hand and place in the area of your body where you're having trouble. If you're having problems in the hips, put your hand on the hip, the lungs, the heart, the eyes, the ears, wherever you're having problems, wherever you're having pain, wherever you got limitation. And some of you, look, some of you here, you say, well, you know, mine's a small thing. I don't want to bother God with it. Really? He died for you to be well. I mean, he wants you well. Doesn't matter how big or how small it was. Last night, a girl's toe was healed. That overwhelms me, that the God who put every star in place with his finger would reach down and touch a girl's toe. You say, well, that's not a big thing. Well, it was for her. It was interfering with her life. It was causing her pain and discomfort and some limitation. So put your hand wherever you're having problems. If you're having problems all over your body, put your hand on top of your head. But please, please, wherever you put your hand, leave it there. Leave it there. Yes, there is another hand on your hand. There's a nail-scarred hand. There's a healing hand on your hand right now. And healing is flowing. He does what no one else can do. He does what no surgery, no medication, no doctor, nurse, no preacher, nobody can do. He does. None of them have the final word. And for you that are here right now, that you've been told, well, there's nothing that can be done. They were wrong. They forgot about Jesus. And his hand is on you right now. Pain, go. Limitation, go. That lump, that growth, we command it to go. We speak to mountains in your life and say, mountain, be removed. Cast into the sea. From the crown of your head to the tips of your toes, I speak healing to flow right now. Every part of your body. Jesus' name, receive. This is your time of receiving right now. This is your time of receiving. Just take it, take it. People are getting healed all over. Pain is leaving. Spirit of infirmity is leaving. Disease is leaving. Physical problems are leaving. Spines are being healed. Backs are being healed. There's an anointing for that. Grab a hold of it right now. Pull on it. Wow, this is big. This is what I want you to do. Whether I mention anything about your situation or not, whether you felt anything or not, some people feel heat, some people feel cool, some people feel nothing, doesn't matter. If you came this morning with any kind of physical problem, and it's possible, check it right now. If you're limited in movement, move. Breathe. Check the ear. Check the eye. In the last two services, God's healed people's eyes. Check it right now. Press in where the problem was. Press in where the pain was. Lift that leg. big anointing on knees, hips, legs. Wow. Start moving right now. Move that ankle. Put your weight on that hip. God's healing. If you tried it a moment ago, try it again. People are still getting healed. So this is what I want you to do. Whether I mentioned it or not, whether you felt anything or not, you checked it again. We never get concerned if it's not all done. Because some people say, well, something's happening, but I still got this and this. If there's any indication anything is happening, we get excited. Because God never starts something he doesn't intend to finish. One more time. Back, front, sides, check it. Do whatever. There are no big miracles, no small miracles. His hand does it all. Every one of you today that say, something seems to be happening in my body this morning, wave your hands right now. Wave your hands. If you know something seems to be happening in your body right now, just wave your hand quickly, quickly. Every one of you with your hands waved, I want you to come stand down here at the front real quick. But there's others. There's many others. Check it again. Check it again. The moment you know something's happening, come. Come quickly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, we didn't lay our hands on. We didn't anoint the oil, but these people are getting healed. These people are getting touched. You know why? Because of his fingerprints. You got fingerprints all over you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's a bunch more. Check it one more time. You say, well, it's just a small thing. No, it's not. If it's something God's touching, yeah, that's a big thing. There's like a band right across about three quarters of the way back, and people are in that area getting healed. All kinds of things. Some of you haven't even checked it. Check it. And the moment you know something's happening, just slip out. Slip out real quick. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. People are coming. This is good. I love it. Don't you love it? Oh, Jesus, you're so good. So, only one explanation. There's evidence. The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is I am right now. Not I was or I will be. He is I am right now. And there's evidence of it. And these people have fingerprints all over them. So just real quick, quickly just tell me what's happening this morning. We don't have time to go into, you know, all the details, but just what's happening this morning.
I just had a lot of pain in my hip. It's gone.
Where'd it go?
Back to hell where it
belongs. Come on. That's good preaching, right? Father, out of this belly may it flow rivers of living water. I bless you. What's happening to you?
I have problems all over my body with pain, and it's not as much, and I'm better. And you spoke earlier about promises. I've had promises for way, way.
And this is your season.
This is my season.
How do you feel as far as pain right now?
Not really feeling any pain.
You what?
Just a little bit right back here, but not much.
You're getting healed as you stand
yes.
here.
Yes.
You got his fingerprints all over you. And you know what? This is him doing this today is his way of saying, those promises, I didn't give you those promises to frustrate you. That's what he's said to do. All you have to do is say, thank you, Lord. Just keep praising him for doing it. I bless you with Father's blessing today. What's happened to you?
My lower back. I did a little bit too much yesterday.
And now
it feels so much better.
You?
My lower back and my wrist.
Yeah.
And it's getting better. In Jesus' name.
Move your wrist right now. How does it feel?
It still hurts a little bit in here, but the pain is gone.
And what about the back?
The back, the pain is gone.
And the pain is gone in the wrist?
Yes.
Wow. How long have you had this?
This, the wrist, probably for about 4 to 6 months.
Bless you. What's happening?
My shoulders. Bursitis, severe bursitis and arthritis.
Move your arms. Move your shoulders. How does it feel?
No pain. praise God.
Come on. That's amazing. That's a miracle. What's happened to you?
It's just a lot of heat on the back of my neck and my shoulder and my back.
You actually feel heat right now?
Yeah, all over the back of my neck, my shoulder, my back, all the way down. Everywhere I had pain, and I'm really believing.
What was causing the pain?
I had an epidural when I was giving birth to my daughter, and it started giving me really bad pain after that, and I just feel heat everywhere where there was pain. There's just heat instead of pain, just warmth.
So where's the pain?
I don't feel any pain in my back.
Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? I speak blessing over you and your household. You're going to have, I believe, you're going to have extreme favor, unfair favor. You're going to get things and see things that other people say, what, really? It's your time. You've had the other. You've had the other. It's been tough, but this is a good season for you. And this, for God's doing this, he's saying, look, I've got my fingerprints all over you. It's going to be okay. So I bless you with Father's blessing today. Wow. What's happening to you?
I work a lot of hours in construction, and it just feels like I don't even work them anymore. Completely not sore at all.
That's so good. So you're going to have to work more now.
I guess so.
Come on. What about you?
At my right shoulder.
Yep.
Had an inflammation.
Move it now. Any sign of inflammation? Any sign of pain?
No.
No, wonderful. What about you?
Mine's my shoulder and my neck, and actually, my husband and I are here on vacation. I told him before we came here that, you know, I'm healed. I've been to several different doctors, and they can't really find what's wrong, but it's all these muscles in my neck and stuff tighten up, and my husband and I had a discussion about believing in hands being laid upon me and healed. And I told him before I came here, I'm going to be healed. Amen. I don't need an MRI.
And how do you feel right now?
I feel good.
You've been healed.
Yes.
You decreed it. Oh, I bless you with Father's blessing. What's happening to you?
My left knee. I had a lot of damage in my left knee from a real bad crash back in like 2008.
Yeah. How is it?
It's pretty good.
That's so good. Father, thank you. Now, I'm going to tell you, many of you realize after service on the way home, wow, I don't have that anymore. Some of you later today, some of you during the night, some of you tomorrow, and some people are pretty slow to catch on, honestly. Sometimes God does things you don't know, and then you think later, I haven't had that problem. I haven't had that attack. I haven't had that pain since that Sunday morning at Destiny. Whenever you figure it out, give God praise. Just one more thing I need to do, and then get ready. I'm glad you stayed. I mean, he's got nothing to tell you, but I just didn't want you leaving while I preached, okay? That's not true. That's not true. He's got great. It's going to be good. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just so everybody's comfortable. This is the question. If you died right now, if your heart would stop beating right now, you know without a shadow of a doubt that you'd be with Jesus. All of us that loved Roland and watched him as he made his transition, shared his faith, that there was a shadow of doubt that the moment, 6:25 last night, when he left his body, he was in the presence of the Lord. Not a shadow of doubt. We're not hoping. We know it. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, every one of you say, I know without a shadow of a doubt, if I died right now, if my heart would stop beating right now, I'd be in the presence of God. Let me see your hands. Thank you, Lord. You know. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Because the Bible says these things are written that you can know. You can put them down. Thank you. Those that have the Son have life, and those that do not have the Son of God do not have life. If you're here, heads bowed, eyes closed, you couldn't raise your hand in the first one, but you want to. And you'd honestly say, I'm not right with God, but I want to be. We want to pray for you right now. Every one of you that said, I couldn't raise my hand, or some of you did raise your hand, but you really shouldn't have because you're not sure. You got to be sure. This is important. So every one of you say, I'm not right with God, but I want to be. Would you pray for me? Let me see your hands. Yes, yes, God bless you. God bless you. Father, you know every heart. You know every life. I pray right now. In fact, why don't we all pray this prayer? Just repeat with me. Dear Jesus, I love you. I have failed you. I have sinned. But I'm sorry. Forgive me. Wash me with your blood. And make me clean. And dear Jesus, I give you my life. Give me the power to live for you. And in Jesus' name, I pray the fire of God and the power of God on every person in this place. You'll feel fresh fire burning in your bones as you go to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.